from the archives of the greatest dramas in radio history, we proudly present Hollywood. The Radio Theater brings you Loretta Young and Joseph Cotten in Love Letters. Ladies and gentlemen, your producer, Mr. William Keeley.
Greetings from Hollywood, ladies and gentlemen. Our play tonight is the work of a producer with whom I was closely associated in the past, and whose contributions to the screen I have always admired, Mr. Hal Wallace, whose pictures have won 27 awards for excellence, who is the only holder of two of the coveted Irving Thalberg Awards, and who has more than maintained that high standard in tonight's screen hit released by Paramount, Love Letters. In our cast are Joseph Cotten, playing his original scene role, co-starred with Loretta Young in her 18th appearance on this stage, a letter that has contributed much to your enjoyment. Love Letters gives a fresh, unusual treatment to an almost classic scene in the theater. The story of one man who pleads another's love and finds himself deeply involved in romance with a girl in question. It's certain time, and here's the opening act of Love Letters, starring Loretta Young as Singleton and Joseph Cotten as Alan. London, a few weeks after the end of the war. In Miss Billy Parsons' comfortable flat, a party's been going on since 8 o'clock. It's a little after midnight now, and standing in front of the tall window, gazing into the fog-draped city, one of the guests is in a talkative and philosophical mood.
Yes, my friends, we commit unspeakable crimes. We go to war, blast our cities, blast all sense out of our brains, and yet, always there before our eyes is that vision of beauty. A beauty we've never seen, but which makes everything we do seem unbearable. A few months ago, behind the front in Italy, Hey, what's happened? Where is everybody?
They've all gone, Alan.
Gone? Sneaked out behind my back?
Listen, here. Here's a nice black coffee.
Oh. thanks. You mean I've been standing here talking to myself? I'm crushed.
You're also a little under the weather.
I've been drinking.
Yes.
It's bad. Tell me what I've been talking about.
A girl, Murphy.
I'm ashamed.
Alan, who is Victoria?
I've been talking about Victoria.
Who is she?
I don't know. I've never seen her, but I've thought about her considerably. I wrote letters to Victoria. Love letters.
That doesn't make much sense.
Well, I wrote them for a fellow I knew in the Army. He thought he was in love with her, I guess.
Who?
His name was Roger Moreland. He married her. I was still in Italy when I learned that Moreland had died. I never did find out just what happened.
You wrote letters to Victoria to a man called Roger Moreland?
I started doing it as a joke.
I don't think it was very funny.
I think it was tragic. But Roger was a man of action. He hated writing letters.
The girl never suspected.
She married him, didn't she? Why are you so interested?
You put me on the track of something?
What?
Never mind.
You always this mysterious? I wish very much I'd met you before tonight.
Then remember tonight. When you were down at this new place of yours in Beltmont, remember how mysterious I was.
You think a murder's been committed.
There has. An old murder.
What is it?
And don't ask questions.
You talk about a murder and say don't ask questions.
Come on, I'll see you to the station. Alan, why are you going to Beltmont?
Well, because an old aunt of mine died and left it to me, her home, her goods, and a man named Mac who looked after things.
During your discourse, you mentioned that Victoria lived in Essex, too.
Victoria Remington, Meadow Farm, Longreach, Essex.
What kind of a man is this Roger Moreland?
He's dead, Delly, and I'm trying to forget that I made a girl fall in love with him.
Your conscience, Dick.
Briefly.
Well, after you've been at Beltmont a while, you'll be able to cope with things much better.
How do you know?
Because I know things about you. Things that may happen to you that you don't know.
The nice things, I trust, things that will put a little kick into life.
Come along, you're the train to come.
Well, Mr. Allen, so you like the house, do you? You know, it's 15 years since you've been here.
Oh, I was so sure it would be changed, Mac. I never found good things to be anything like the way we remember them.
Your aunt wanted it kept just like she had it. She thought you'd appreciate the loneliness and quiet and this coming to rest.
I like that, Mac. Coming to rest. Which reminds me that I could use about 8 hours of it right now.
Oh, what time, breakfast, sir?
Not too early. I want to take a walk before breakfast.
This is for you, Mr. Allen, this envelope.
What is it?
10 golden sovereigns. Your aunt left them for the girl you chose for yourself.
For the girl I chose.
You haven't chosen.
No, I haven't chosen.
Good night, Mr. Allen.
Good night, Mary.
Did you have a good walk, sir?
I went down the road as far as the turn that goes to Longreach. Have you been to Longreach lately, Mac?
Oh, no, not since before the war, sir.
Do you happen to know anyone there named Remington?
Remington? Mm-hmm. No, I can't recall. Wait, though. Remington. Strange. Something I heard.
What?
It was not good.
What?
I don't know.
I'm going to Longreach this afternoon. I want to visit the widow of a man I knew. Can you hire Trappenberg?
I think so, sir.
Oh, Mac, if something bothers you for a long time and you know it can't possibly be what you're thinking, isn't it better to find out about it and be disappointed once and for all?
Why are you so sure you'll be disappointed?
I want to be. I want to get rid of it and forget it.
Why? She's free. She's a widow now, you said.
Mac, you're entirely too shrewd. I hope I'm going to continue to like you.
You will, Mr. Allen. I'm a fine old man. I wonder how you ever got along with that.
Where's breakfast? I'm starved. This is Meadow Farm, Mr. Quinton. It'll be the cottage, all right. The first person who's off the Meadow Farm in years, before you said it's well known. Well, everybody knows it, but knowing a place is not the same as visiting a place.
Wait for me here, I won't be long.
You bought something?
Oh, I didn't see you come up.
What did you?
I want to know if Victoria Moreland still lives here.
She's gone away.
Can you tell me where?
London, maybe. I don't know. Somewhere in London.
I was a friend of her husband.
He? He's dead.
Yes. There's nothing you can tell me about Mrs. Moreland.
Nothing.
Who's in the house?
Nobody's in the house. I'm Jeff. I look after the farm.
Sorry, I'm so much.
It's all right. It's all right.
Something wrong, Mr. Quinton.
Hmm? Oh, no, driver, nothing's wrong. You can take me back now.
Yes, sir.
No, wait, I've changed my mind. Take me to the railroad station instead.
Yes?
Oh, is Miss Billy Carson at home?
Oh, no, but she'll be back in a minute. Come in, Alan.
You know me?
Mm-hmm.
He's Matt?
Oh, yes.
Well, who are you?
Sam Smith.
Won't even give me a hint?
Sit down.
Thank you.
It'll be funny to watch you challenge me.
It'll be funny, but not very polite.
Well, should we be polite or honest?
Whichever you prefer me to be.
Oh, I don't like people to try to be what I want them to be.
What should they be then?
Whatever they want. Whether anyone approves or not.
Well, I couldn't possibly say what I'd like to right now.
What?
If you're... Why, very pretty.
Oh, please, sir. I'd like to hear it.
You're very pretty, and I'm embarrassed.
And you don't remember seeing me before?
Well, only a feeling that I have.
Where?
Now, this sounds absurd. Overseas at the front.
No, I've never been at the front.
You knew my name.
I thought of you very often.
Why should you admit that?
Well, why not? I wanted to tell you that I've thought of you. And you'd be glad to hear it.
What made you think about me?
Do you remember being in the flat before?
Only slightly, at a party.
Uh-huh. Billy told me. She told me you talked about me.
About you? Yes. What did I say?
She wouldn't tell. Oh, you're upset, aren't you?
Yes.
Well?
I've just come from the library. I found some very disturbing information in the newspaper file.
Oh, well, can I help you?
Well, maybe you can. Do you know Victoria Moreland?
Victoria Moreland?
Mm-hmm.
No, I've never heard of it.
I'm sure she's a friend of Billy's.
Oh, no, I know all Billy's friends.
Well, it doesn't matter, I suppose.
Oh, it does matter. You're in love with her.
What makes you say that?
The way you pronounce your name. The way you look.
You know what's strange? You knew it before I did. I never realized it until I heard you say it.
You've been in love with her without knowing?
For a long time.
And you've lost her? Oh, I'd like to help you find...
Look, just who are you? Where did I meet you?
Right here in this room at the party the other night. Are you single?
Oh, the girl who kept playing the Debussy record, of course.
I wanted to talk to you, but Billy kept me away.
Why?
I don't know.
Well, so you're Miss Singleton.
No, not Miss Singleton. Just Singleton.
What's your first name?
I haven't any.
Oh, now, wait a minute.
Oh, hello, Billy. You look Alan's here.
So I see.
Good evening.
I'm sorry. A bit of a shock seeing you. I didn't think you'd be back so soon.
I want to talk to you, Billy. I've been going through some old newspaper files at the library.
We've had a fine time, Billy. Fallon likes me.
Well,
Billy, who's Victoria Morland, do you know?
No, I don't sing with him. Why?
Well, Alan talked to me.
Well, I don't.
You must try to help him find his eyes.
Because I don't want Alan
to be unbothered.
Here I am with a basket full of groceries, and the thing I wanted most, I forgot.
My dear.
Darling, run down to the store before it closes.
Oh,
God. A large package of Pearson's goats. We haven't a thing for breakfast.
Well, Pearson's goats. Oh, and don't let Alan get away before I come back now.
So you forgot Pearson's goats?
Yes.
No, you didn't.
No, I didn't. But I had to get her out.
You don't have to explain. I came here only to ask you one question, and you know the answer. Where is Victoria Morland?
Victoria Morland just walked out of that door.
Singleton?
Yes.
I don't believe it. The name meant nothing to her, and she wasn't putting on an act.
What were you doing at the library?
Looking for an account of a murder.
Did you find it?
Yes. You can't make me believe that Singleton is a murderer.
Not Singleton. Victoria Morland. Alan, how much do you know about Victoria's past?
Nothing.
Well, she was a foundling. Brought up in an orphanage in Canada. They gave her a name there, Victoria Singleton. When she was 12, Beatrice Remington brought her to England.
Who's Beatrice Remington?
A lonely old maid who owns Meadow Farm. She adopted Singleton, brought her up as a kind of goddess, guarded her ferociously. She was determined that no one would ever hurt Singleton in any way.
How did you come to know her?
I came from Long Beach, too. I was Singleton's only friend.
Did you know Roger Morland?
We met him together at an orphanage dance. When he went away, he started writing her. He fell in love. He fell in love with his letters. Your letters, Alan.
I know.
Beatrice didn't trust Roger. But nothing would stop Singleton. She married him 3 days after his return. I don't know what happened, only that Singleton changed. She grew silent, withdrawn in a strange sort of way. And then one night, I was home on a visit, just rushed in, Beatrice Remington's farmer. He begged me to come. When I entered the cottage, Roger was lying on the floor, dead. There was a large knife beside him. Singleton was sitting by the fireplace. He was wearing a white dress. There were dark red things all over. 2 weeks later, she stood trial for the murder of her husband. I was called as a witness.
Mr. Carson, upon seeing the body of Roger Morland, exactly what did you do?
I spoke to Victoria. She didn't answer me. She didn't even recognize me. She just kept staring at the fireplace. In front of the grate was a fragment of a letter.
Did you pick it up?
Yes. It said, "I think of you, my dearest, as a distant promise of beauty untouched by the world."
Was the letter signed?
I couldn't tell. It was burned.
Was Beatrice Remington present at the time?
Yes. She was standing in the doorway leading out of the room. She appeared very ill.
She had nothing to say?
No, all she said was, "She struck. Nothing more."
If it pleases the court, the defense would like to call Dr. Albert Peters to the stand.
Dr. Albert Peters.
Good evening, Dr. Albert Peters.
Dr. Peters, on the night of Mr. Morland's death, you attended Beatrice Remington?
I did. I found Miss Remington in a comatose condition. She had suffered a stroke of apoplexy. Doubtlessly induced by shock. He was unable to speak or to move.
Thus obviating the possibility for even writing down what she might have witnessed?
That is correct. Miss Remington is still in a hospital, still unable to speak or use her hands to write. Dr. Adams and Dr. Wiley have concurred in the findings of my signed statement to this effect.
That is all, Dr. Peters. If it pleases the court, I should like to recall Mrs. Roger Morland to the stand. Roger Morland, please. Mrs. Morland, do you remember your husband striking you?
Who was my husband?
Please, Mrs. Moreland, please try to think. You do realize you're on trial for the murder of your husband.
Yes, I understand that. But I swore to tell the truth. I simply do not remember that I had a husband.
Don't you want to remember?
No. I don't know what happened that night. As long as I don't know, it never happened. Not really, not to me. Of course, you can't consider that. You just do what you must. You know it happened. I don't.
Try to think of Roger Moreland before you married him. Of the time when you loved him.
I never loved him.
Well, how do you know that if you don't remember?
Because I remember the man I loved.
Who was that?
Well, it seemed a very long time ago. He wrote to me. I remember his letters. I loved that man. I still love him. So you see, I couldn't have loved Roger Moreland, the man I killed.
The fact that Roger had struck her was a mitigating circumstance. Several doctors examined her. She was perfectly sane. She'd lost her memory, but not her mind. Amnesia victims are not insane. She was sentenced to a year in prison.
Is that the jail, isn't
it? Oh, I don't believe she suffered. I don't believe she knew where she was.
She must have known.
If she did, she's forgotten it now.
Forgotten everything?
Everything. Even her own name. The only thing she remembers is her childhood and the orphanage and the name they gave her there. Simple.
She remembers you?
Only because I visited her regularly.
What about Beatrice Remington?
Singleton has no recollection of her.
Where is Beatrice now?
Here in London, at a nursing home. She's getting better. She can speak again.
Will Singleton ever recover? What did the doctor say?
They've warned me never to speak to her about her past. If anyone told her about her past now, the shock would be so terrible she might easily lose her mind. Don't you see why I was so terrified just now when I found you questioning her about Victoria Moreland?
Billy, that party here the other night, why was I invited?
Roger had spoken about you. Then when the war was over and you came home, I wanted someone to help me, someone I could trust. Now I'm not so sure I did right. Anyway, that's the whole story.
Except you haven't told the worst of it. You know who the real criminal in the story is, Doctor.
I didn't until you started talking the night of the party.
I'm the guilty one. I made her a murderer.
You're the man she loved. You're the man she thought she married, but she doesn't know it, and you can never tell her.
Does she remember my letters?
No, I don't know.
If she does, if she's still in love with me, if she finds that out, she'll despise me.
And you? What do you feel for her? Hopeless, isn't it?
Yes.
But you couldn't be happy with a ghost. You won't be able to face the day when she ceases to be.
Billy, I'd better leave now while she's still out. What will you tell her when she comes back?
I'll think of something.
Tell her I left. Tell her I left because I'm in love with Victoria Moreland. Yes?
Alan, this is Billy.
Hello, Billy.
Alan Singleton has disappeared.
Disappeared?
He went out this morning without saying a word and he hasn't come back. Is he at your house by any chance?
Well, Mac and I have been out all morning, but... Well, no, of course she isn't here.
Alan.
Look, I'll come right into London. There's a train in about an hour.
Oh, I'll wait here, Alan.
Singleton.
Well, Alan, I'm so glad to see you.
In just a moment, we'll return to Act Two of Love Letters, starring Joseph Cotten and Loretta Young. One of America's treasure houses of culture is the Library of Congress, a 3 minute walk from the Capitol Building in Washington. Established in 1800, it was originally just for Congress. But today, 1.5 million visitors a year pass through its imposing Italian Renaissance structure. There are two buildings now, but in another 5 or 6 years, we'll have a third, with a total building investment of $84 million. But preserving the rare items of history makes any cost worthwhile. In the library is the Gutenberg Bible, printed on vellum and dating back to the 15th century. Also, the first rough draft of the Declaration of Independence in Thomas Jefferson's own handwriting. and Lincoln's Gettysburg Address, scratched out and rewritten on White House stationery. Visitors also got to see Ben Franklin's diagram of the bifocals he invented. Or more recently, the entire score of Porgy and Bess in composer George Gershwin's own hands. It's all part of America's historical wealth at the Library of Congress. Here's Mr. Keeley with the microphone.
We continue with Act Two of Love Letters, starring Joseph Cotten as Allen and Loretta Young as Singleton. Following Billy Carlton's frantic phone call that Singleton has disappeared, Allen hangs up the receiver, only to find that Singleton is standing in his doorway, quite amused over his obvious concern.
Aren't you going to say hello or something?
Singleton, how long have you been here?
Oh, I think maybe an hour. The door was open. I heard the phone ringing, but I was afraid it was Billy. I didn't answer.
Now, Singleton.
Please, Alan, don't call me.
Hello, Singleton.
Hello.
Why did you come here?
Oh, I was afraid you decided to come to see you.
Why would I decide that?
Then it is all right for me to be here, and you shouldn't get so embarrassed.
Oh, Singleton, one just doesn't do these things.
Oh, I know. I know it looks as if I'm running after you, but I know you're in love with someone else. It's all you know, and you're telling me. So you can't stop me.
What?
Anything personal?
Oh, you just came here impersonally.
Not exactly. I wanted to see you.
Now, look, Singleton, Billy's really sick. I'll have to call her. Will you sit down and behave yourself, Bob? Oh, yeah. You don't care, Darryl. All right, it was paid in 2 hours.
You're more than me?
Singleton.
No?
No.
Good.
Now, incidentally, how did you get my address?
Oh, you mentioned it, Billy's party.
Well, you have a good memory. You.
No secret, Alan. I know I have no real memory. Billy told you about it.
Yes.
Is that why you're afraid of me?
No.
Unless you are, you mustn't be. Since I have no problem, I have no secret. Oh, no. Well, you see, I you can enjoy it without any obligation, okay?
Oh, what's that? Ever since I came back from the war, I've wanted to be alone. I've been miserable with other people. You're the first one looking at you.
Well, that's because you're all broken up inside, almost the same as I. You've been through the war and you can't bear to look down. I've forgotten and you don't want to remember. That's the only difference between us.
But you're so calm about everything.
I'll tell you my
I have no doubt.
The love of her.
You mustn't think of it.
And someday you'll be happy with it. But I don't mind. Because right now you're happy with me, yeah. Alan, you'll come to London House for Harvey.
Of course,
but don't run. I can't take it.
Why?
No. I don't know. Maybe it's because I can't write. I can read, but I've forgotten how to make handwritten letters. Billy wanted to teach me once, but I didn't want to learn again. I'm afraid of
it. And I promise never to write
again. Why are you looking at me?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Well, aren't you going to show me your house? Can't we even walk around the grounds?
I'll be very happy to show them to you, Singleton. Well, Max, will you call the village? We'll be needing transportation to the station. Singleton, come on. We don't have a car, you know.
But I haven't got
Goodbye, Matt. Goodbye, Matt. Oh, I will.
Don't you give her ideas, Matt.
Oh, Alan, I think it's wonderful to ride to the station in the car.
Oh, what's the matter?
Oh, it's my shoe. I broke my shoe.
All right, then I'll carry you.
Oh, I'm
going to get that train.
And when we get to London, we'll carry you all the way to Delhi.
That's what I'd like, second best. All right, driver, we're in. Not to go to London at all. But most definitely, we are going. Look at me.
You know the difference between us? You're unhappy because that can never happen again. And I'm happy because it happened once.
He just knows it would be useless to be angry with you. Well, if I'm going to get back to Belfast tonight, night, Singleton.
Don't forget, you're coming to see me soon.
Very soon, I hope. Jerry, I'm not going back tonight. I'm staying in London. I want you to arrange for me to see you at the
clinic.
Please, Jerry, as soon as possible, tell her all about me, except about the letters. I'll be at the hotel bed. Please call me there anytime tomorrow.
That's your visitor by the window, Miss Remington. You can have a nice chat here in the saloon.
Well, it's
I think you're nice, Mr. Silver.
$200,000
Well, you young man.
And
your sister, Remington.
And now we're friends. He's a friend of Roger Moreland.
I'm not too soon to the test. Please, that's the point. What did you wish to see me?
I want to marry Singleton. We love each other. If we try to escape it, it would be worse for both of us.
The prospect of a lifetime of a woman is conditioned to be living in it. But what if the world was in your health? Might that be worse
for you? Much worse.
You're proposing to marry two different women at once. In the room, in the room, in the room. Any one of them can give you something. If one of them can point to buy me on the trail, if then when the trail comes back to life, think of them as something. I will be told you. But they're hurting me, I thought.
I have every reason to believe that you're hurting me. Just part of the chance I must take.
I thought
I should speak to you first. Of course, you don't know me, but
I know a great deal about you. I made it my business to inquire.
Then your answer.
I don't think it is. I did that. I lived to regret it. Have you obtained the permission of a priest for such a marriage with son?
The bishop wants to see Singleton before
you
can see him.
Do you know that I love my woman?
Yes. Then, for her sake, won't you tell me what happened that night?
Have you lived your time for the time?
Yes.
Then, that's all you have seen. Alibi got a decision to decide. If you get his permission, you have my consent. The day is to come.
Mr. Mortimer, Singleton.
Thank you, Bishop.
You don't know how much I'm enjoying this talk with you.
Well, it was very kind of you to invite our meeting. I've always wanted to be a bishop. Well, it's true.
Tell me, are you quite content to be called Singleton? Don't you sometimes wish for a Christian name?
Oh, no, I don't mind, really. Lots of people in the Bible, let alone with one name. It's a matter of not to wear it, too.
You read your Bible?
Oh, yes, I do. I particularly like one sentence. What could it profit a man if he could gain the whole world and lose his own soul? I always feel as if it were written to me.
Why?
Because, as you must know, I've lost the whole world and gained my own soul. Not now I can look at the whole world through my own eyes. As if it were a new world. Seen for the first time, and I love it. I love it. Especially the countryside. I've never lived in a country that's so full of surprises. Like your garden out there, Mr.
Would you like to see my garden?
Oh, very much.
Mary? Mary, this is your department. You will show you through, my dear.
Thank you.
I'll wait here.
Have you come to a decision? Your mind is clear and the soul is innocent. Both of you have a great deal of courage. But you say that in your care, I shall permit your master.
I'm sorry about the difficulty.
What difficulty?
About me, the ones you had to discuss with the bishop.
How do you know what I discussed with the bishop?
I like to think of you as being kind. You went around and insulted people to make sure they'd admit it before you spoke to me. But, Alan, what about Victoria Morgan?
Singleton, that's gone and finished. My past is as bad as yours. We're both making a new beginning. I want you to trust me.
I don't know you love me, but you can't really know it until you find her again. If you don't, you'll never be sure.
I am sure. Singleton, if you love me, you'll forget that name and never think of it again.
Oh, I love you.
You'll have to marry me.
What's
the matter?
But I'm not. I'm originally going to go and let you. I heard you say it when I heard you say the last time I heard something frightened me. I don't know why.
Something out of your past.
Well, Alan, there is something in that.
I'll be
told. I don't know what it is, but it's something horrible. Alan, if I remember it some day, it might hurt you, and I couldn't bear to hurt you.
No, whatever it is,
Was there someone in my class named Walter?
Don't you worry about that.
No, I don't want to worry about
anything.
Oh?
Just a moment, we'll continue with Act Three of Love Letters, starring Joseph Cotton and Loretta Young.
Oh,
Don't you like me, Letter?
It was just a fight, that's all. But it couldn't happen to write that, dear.
I don't know. The words just came as if I remembered a few things. You see, I'm remembering things every day.
What's that, darling?
Yep. Well, I remember beautiful white dress with red stains on it.
Who was that?
I don't know when. But there was music and men in uniform officers in officers' dress. Well, there was a young man. Quite pretty and handsome.
Hey,
you see? Yes, he was the one. He made me laugh and I spilled spray paint all over my dress.
Don't think about him, Hamilton. I've come so much
later. You should get me a birthday present from the
city. Look out the window. Down by the road.
A new car!
Well, now you have to move for the run. But I told you it's not a good road.
But how do you know? Have you been on it?
Well, you can see the road is.
There's something down that road you don't want me to see.
Of course not.
Well, we must go the long way toward the ladder. You'll have to see everything, Kimberly.
All right, so I'll go a little bit along.
They just don't let this happen to a house without a reason in the world.
Oh, wait a minute. There's a man who's looking at us.
Oh, well, maybe he is. Good morning. Good morning. Oh, look at him.
I know you're trespassing, but my wife wanted to see the place.
Could you tell us whose house it is? I mean, who owns it?
Yes? The end of the cottage is full of those. We don't want any
visitors. Oh, I'm sorry.
Please go away.
I'm sorry we bothered you.
You see what happens when you talk to strange men?
I want to go home to my wonderful house.
Hello.
Oh,
I didn't want to call you. I just wanted to look at you sitting there on the garden wall and wish for you. You're beautiful and brave and nothing in the world.
Oh,
you're
His name is Roger. I don't remember his face. It had had so much longer. I loved him.
I heard the man in the hell right now.
Oh, yeah. Alan, I loved him. And I don't know who he was.
Who's now?
I don't know how I loved him, but...
It's not me, Mr. West. It's not
his letters.
Can I help you say that this is a loaded weapon?
Well,
Blood,
darling. That's just fruit.
No.
That's all.
Oh, it's blood. It's on my hand. The knife in my hand. There was a fire. It was on the floor by the There were red spots on my white dress. What happened? What did I do, Alan? No, I don't want to see out there. Please, Alan, put me down.
Oh, dear, this isn't here, darling. I'm just carrying you into the house, and you're going to rest.
Yes. It was another house. What happened? What happened there, Alan? What did I do?
Oh, God,
no. Who's there? Who could tell me, Alan? I'm afraid.
I've got to go out just to London right away. Don't let anyone in the house, Max. If any luck, I'll be back by morning.
Visiting
I told you, nurse, I must see Miss Beatrice Remington.
Miss Remington is not here any longer.
Here?
She left 2 days ago against medical advice.
Where did she go?
I'm sorry,
miss.
Where's your mum?
Yes, he is better this morning, though.
Why did he go to London?
I don't know, Mom. But he'll be back soon. Here now, Mrs. Clinton, that's no way to talk.
Well, you can get something wrong with me, don't you? But I'm quite all right. You don't have to watch me.
Aye, Mom.
There's a postman coming in.
I'll get the mail.
No, I'll get it. I'm not afraid of letters anymore.
Singleton, I'm home, darling. Singleton.
Where's my wife?
She's gone, Mr. Well, I've looked everywhere. She's gone.
What happened?
I don't know. I kept watching her, but she seemed to take a hint. I left her alone.
I'll phone Delacarte, maybe. Thank this letter. What is it?
It came this morning. Mrs. Clinton opened it.
From Beatrice Remington. She read it.
Oh, what I have. How could she understand?
She thinks that.
Yes, I'm going to the Meadow Park.
Thank you.
Yes.
How are you?
Yes. Here, Miss Remington.
How
are
you?
No. Wants to see you.
There's not any doctor like this.
Who come you?
I'm Mrs. Allen Quincy. And I need your help. I must find Victoria Norland.
I don't know.
Oh, don't ask me why. I don't know. I can explain it. I can't remember.
Let go.
These talented stars, these delightful people, gave us a thrilling evening on radio theater. And here they are, Joseph Button and Loretta Young. Loretta, we're most grateful to you for interrupting a vacation in New York, Joanna.
Well, I've always had a soft spot in my heart.
What have you been doing, Joe, since you finished making David O'Sullivan feel the stuff?
I have been sitting in a barber's chair, Bill, getting my hair cut.
Oh, this time getting a haircut?
Well, in the picture, I've been wearing it so long that I...
If I ever could make it in the operation.
Now, not that I'm making me more lightheaded than I am already, Bill. Good night.
Good night, and all our thanks for the prepared performance. This is Ian Shuler, saying good night to you from Hollywood.
You heard the bit about, you know, that's when they've been with the mouth, I heard them on the phone from all about it. They all be kept with that full of the lock in the room, the bay, that's when they do, you know, either part of the mouth in the hill, but look. Why, and it's the wish of all the bay, and it's been held with the mouth with the snare that I'm it. Even if not pass them, don't miss them, say that I deserve more than what, for a moment of the circuit. You're about to pass over and down the shelf of them, don't miss them, not maybe even the cell of the top of the day, to them and you, baby. I'm so hard, Matt. In the moment, the nurse will open, I'll nod in the middle of the head, the village, and I'll shot.
Put down
the car, it's hard to go. What is it? It's hard to tell you it's very up to the way to an the car appeared to be too late. Well, we're trying to say how short it was, isn't it?
I'm not sure how we had.
Here's the cellar, and the other one.
I'm going to go to the house. 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 I'm going to go to the house